So, do we have any dance parents in the room or recovering dance parents? We were dance parents, and I was never so glad to see my children give something up in my life. For one, it's very expensive because it seems not only do you pay for the dance lessons, you're paying for all of the fees and the costumes and all this stuff that all rolls down to one horrible day called the day of the dance recital. Now, I'm sure maybe it's fun for the kids, but for parents, it absolutely is horrible because you go there and you're there for at least 12 to 15 hours watching everyone else's kid dance, hoping upon hope for that 3 minutes that your child is upon the stage, hoping that he or she does their absolute best during those 3 minutes, but realizing that he or she is probably just going to be staring off stage at whoever's telling them what to do if they dance at all. Anyway, so I remember my youngest, Mary Margaret, her very first dance recital. And she was about 3 years old, and she did her thing. And after it was all over, I said, "Well, Mary Margaret, what'd you think?" She said, "That was the best experience of my life." Because she loved being on stage. She loved the spotlight. I have no idea where she would get something like that. Yeah, you guessed it. My big debut was when I was in the third grade. I was in a play called The Little Match Girl in community theater, and I played man number four. I had a wife in that play. She was about 6 feet tall, and I was about 3 feet tall, so I'm sure that didn't look strange at all. But I had the most lines of any male character outside of the lead. I had 6 lines. I don't know what they were, but they were important. And when I got out there on that stage, it was the best experience of my life. Being out there in front of a crowded room, all eyes on me, the spotlight. Some people are afraid of that. Not me, boy. I was born for that. Which is probably why I do what I do now. I mean, spotlights, I get to do it every single Sunday. You know, yeah, it would be cool to be like Billy Graham, to do it like in coliseums and stadiums, but you know, hey, I still get to be up here, right? And I've done some community theater, but I gotta be honest with you, I still have this little dream in the back of my head. I would love to be a movie star. That would be so awesome. I could be like Sean Connery or like Jonah Hill. You know, he's kind of beefy. I could be Denzel Washington. No, I can't be Denzel. But you know, I would like to be Eric Roberts. Anybody know who Eric Roberts is? See, like one person shaking their head, yes. Eric Roberts is Julia Roberts' big brother. Anybody ever heard of Julia Roberts? Eric Roberts is Emma Roberts' dad. Have you ever heard of Emma Roberts? Yes, but do you know that Eric Roberts has been in more movies than anyone else in the world? 725 at last count. He was in... He starred in The King of the Gypsies. I think he was like the villain in Batman The Dark Knight. But tons and tons of movies. 725. Julia Roberts has only been in 68. 725 movies. And most of us don't even know who he is. Isn't that crazy? But he's not the only one. I mean, all right, in a movie, you've got maybe 1 or 2, 5, 10 at most recognizable names, right? But when those credits go at the end, anybody sit here and watch the credits, aside from the Marvel movies because they have stuff at the end? No, not many people. But do you know the average one has 588 names in it? That's a lot of names. And we recognize a handful of those names. So let's say at most 10 people that we know their names, right? So what are the other 578 people doing? Anybody know what a key grip is? I don't, but it's important because they're listed. And there's all kinds of, like, the caterers are listed. And the maintenance people and the prop managers and all the people that put the costumes together and do the makeup. And all of these people go in to make this film. And the reality is, If it were not for those 578 other people, those stars would have nothing to do. They wouldn't matter. We wouldn't know their names if you didn't have a guy behind the camera. We wouldn't know who they are if they didn't have anything to eat. If they didn't have a costume, would we? All of those people put together to make this important movie. All of their little parts become huge parts when put together, don't they? Well, I kind of think that's what's going on in our gospel reading today. Jesus is, this is the final words that he, as he sends off his disciples. This has been going on for a few weeks now, where Jesus gave all authority on heaven and earth to cast out demons and to go to different places. They were sent out like sheep among the wolves. And so they're going out. And the last thing he talks about, honestly, I think that it's more Matthew giving a message to everybody else. Because what Jesus is saying to the disciples is, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Those who welcome a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Those who welcome the righteous will receive the reward of the righteous. And anyone who gives even a little cup of water to one of these little ones, they too will receive their reward. I think this message is meant for all those other people who weren't the 12. All those other disciples, all of those other followers of Jesus that we don't find named anywhere in our Bible. Because the truth is, they too are extremely important. Because if no one had welcomed the disciples, you and I wouldn't be sitting here today. If no one was there to listen to the message, there would be no Christian church. If no one took care of the disciples when they came, if no one fed them, if no one gave them anything to drink, if no one listened to their message, where would we be today? Apparently where everybody else is. But we would be, where would the faith be today? And we don't even know who these critical members of the cast are, do we? And yet their jobs, their small jobs, are vitally important. You see, it's easy to look at the person in the spotlight. But the truth is, the spotlight wouldn't be there if no one had screwed in the bulb. Think about it this way. You ever made a big puzzle? 1,000 pieces. Pieces are about this big. And none of them, as you look at them, are that significant. Put together, they make a big puzzle, don't they? A big, beautiful picture. But if one of those pieces is missing, you know it, don't you? All of the things that you see, the decorations that are out there for Vacation Bible School, and all of them, all the buildings have these little lights, these little construction paper rectangles that were individually cut out. And you know if one of them has fallen off because all of a sudden the building doesn't look quite right. You see, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. It's not just the people in the spotlight that make up the kingdom of God. It's all the people doing what they're called to do. And some of those things are very big things, but most of those things are ones that often go unnoticed, that nobody knows about, but are extremely important. If you look in the bulletin and look at the stars of this production, you've got, my name, Deacon Deborah's name. Today it's Francis's name instead of Tony's, because Tony's on vacation. And John Fields is on vacation, so we have Damien back there running it. And we've got the choir, although they're not named, but you should be. You've got the acolyte and the crucifer and the ushers and the greeters. But there's a lot of names left off of that. But the truth is, when we were here for COVID and there was about 7 or 8 of us, we found out how absolutely vital all of these people are. All the people that aren't named, and you don't even know. Because like I said, there's no spotlight if nobody screws in that spotlight. And I promise you, I ain't changing lights on a ladder. But not only that, you've got the air conditioner that runs. You've got somebody that comes and sets up for communion. You've got somebody that changes the banners. Those bulletins that you hold every week, you may not see Robin's face, but you have evidence of her presence here every single week. You have evidence of Tony who puts in the hymns, and you have evidence of Tony and Deborah who look over that for mistakes. And then it's printed out. So you have the copier people that don't even work here, but they make sure that copier's running and so that we have the bulletins printed. You've got Beverly Ruth that comes and makes sure that this place looks spectacular by cleaning it up every week. But you also have all of the people that do things that we aren't even aware of. Things that I'm not even aware of that make this happen. But you know what? Even if you're not volunteering for anything, get this. Do you know that the average visitor that comes decides whether or not he or she is going to come back in the first 10 minutes that they're there? Do you know who they do not see the first 10 minutes they are there? Me. You know who they do see? All of you. Because you see, it's not just what happens up here that makes this place welcoming, that makes this place a church. It's what happens out there. It's when you hold a door. It's when you smile and greet someone and wave and make them feel welcome. It's when you show them the directions and, you know, and here's a bulletin. And it's how you greet. It's how you welcome. That's what makes the difference. When you wave at somebody in the parking lot just because, hey, I'm glad you're here this morning. They feel welcomed. Those little things make a huge difference in the kingdom of God. Because the reality is, and it's not just here at church, it's everywhere. When you do those little things for other people in the name of Jesus, you make an impact in this world. You make an impact in the kingdom of God. Because you never know when your one small thing can be absolutely monumental. But the reality is, your small things, along with her small things and his small things and their small things and my small things and everyone's small things, well, that's what changes the world. This week, we're going to be celebrating the Independence Day of our country, July 4th. And along with that, we remember people like George Washington and Benjamin Franklin and John Hancock. We don't know what he did, but he's got a big signature, right? Paul Revere, all these heroes of the American Revolution. But the truth is, without all the people who did those small things, without all of those Americans that picked up arms and fought for our freedom, without all of those people that took care of wounded soldiers, without all those people that prepared the meals, without all those people who were praying for their safety and for our country, you know where we would be? We would still be in an English country. The same holds true with the kingdom of God, my friends. You and I are gifted and given many opportunities to do all kinds of little things. Because that is how the kingdom of God grows. Not just from those who are in the spotlight, but from those who screw the spotlight in. Amen.